Okay, so let's talk about the raw material today. So last week we talked about the path of catalyst. Catalyst, again, in chemistry, indicates a substance or a chemical that, or a process that speeds up the reaction process of something else, or speeds up another reaction process. So putting a certain powder into my bottle of liquid speeds up a certain chemical process in that bottle of other chemicals. That's a catalyst. Ra uses the term catalyst to indicate really any life experience that speeds along or helps push our spiritual transformation, meaning our development of consciousness, our evolution of mind, body, spirit. And they make the link, which I really haven't seen anywhere else. And I think it's a very sophisticated way of talking about Kundalini, or in the chakras. It's very, very humble or not dramatic and non-technical, meaning very geared to or tied to transformation of consciousness and mind as we know it. Not magic, not do it to me spirituality, but looking at my personal reactions, looking at how I feel, how I live each day, as a way of understanding chakras and kundalini and the flow of energy up the spine, up the etheric chakras. So the path of catalyst is the path of kundalini or energy going from the root chakra to the crown. The root chakra is basically the feet and the base of the spine. And Ra talks about two points of entry of light or energy into the body, into our being in this life. One is basically higher self and our essential infinite nature, which is seventh chakra, what Ra calls the Polaris or our inner light. The second point of entry is basically coming through the base of the spine and the feet as the root chakra. And this begins the path of catalyst, the path of energy moving up the chakras as far as possible, meeting the inner light, which is at the top, as close to the top as possible, according to our mind, according to our consciousness, and expressed as how we live each day. You know, do we have anger and hopelessness reading about the New World Order? Or do we feel understanding and awareness, peaceful awareness, that this is all divine plan, that this is all the Creator experiencing itself, that it is as it is. And it's all part of, you know, the divine play. All that occurs on earth is, you know, the Creator or the One Life experiencing itself. That's true. Knowing that, does that knowing is the big picture. Does that knowing, which is very much a sixth, seventh chakra awareness, does that awareness, and to what extent does that awareness, influence how we are moment by moment? That represents how we experience moment by moment, represents the meeting point between the inner light, the crown chakra, the crown on the king, right? The shining light of our being at the top of the chakra column, and the energy coming in the base of the spine root chakra. Where they meet is where we live, how we live, how well we live the absolute truth of our nature, which can only be lived when there are no chakra blockages and when there's great development of love and wisdom and balance. And that the process of living, having a life, having experience, which is catalyst, is to basically move that point of contact higher so that we're not only living from survival or self-centered emotionality, one and two, nor from social attachment or group identification as American or Jew or New Yorker or wanderer or, you know, or outsider or whatever social obligations we believe we must follow, whatever group we identify with that may be limits, obviously limits, our awareness of what we are, totality. Any form of social blockage, needing approval, hating society, represents third chakra blockage. In such a case, then some portion of the energy coming up gets trapped there, is trapped there. And we, you know, can't live our greater being. Hey, the hammering has started today. So Ra is saying, experiential catalyst, meaning how the catalyst or the stimulus, the stimulation, the stimulant for our spiritual growth, that is our life experience, is the same as the quality of the path of energy up the spine. Only Ra talks about this. No Kundalini yoga, Pranayama yoga, Indian yoga, Buddhist yoga understands this, which is very interesting, actually. So Ra is talking about the energy flow, and that is a way that the quality of that flow depends on quality of consciousness. And so let's jump into it. Page 31, catalyst and kundalini energy. Frankly, really, to understand this, just listening to me is not enough. We would have to read it a few times alone and then think about it and then read it again. This material cannot be understood without that. So if you don't do that, it's fine, of course. But don't worry if you don't understand it then, because you didn't read it enough. And the only way I can understand it, of course, to whatever extent I do, is by reading it many times over and then thinking about it and putting it together with other information or my own personal experience. So Don asks, page 31, catalyst and kundalini energy section. How can we correctly awaken the kundalini? Typical question. And of what value would that be? Well, Ra says, it's extremely useful and appropriate for you to consider the metaphor of the coiled serpent being called upwards. The coiled serpent being called upwards. This is what you are attempting when you seek. There are, as we have stated, great misconceptions concerning this metaphor and the nature of pursuing its goal, arousing kundalini. Please realize that we must generalize in our answers, and basic misconceptions surrounding this topic also render what we have to share with you less useful. So obviously there are a lot of misconceptions among the great yogis, and especially those who come to the West demanding, asking for money, about kundalini yoga and the chakras and the coiled serpent called upwards. We have two types, excuse me for my voice breaking today. Ra says, we have two types of energy. We are attempting then, as entities in any true color of this octave, meaning density, we are attempting to move the meeting place of inner and outer natures further and further along or upward along the energy centers. There are two methods of approaching this in a sensible way. Ra's way is quite sensible. So we're talking about moving the meeting place. This is it's a deeper presentation than just raise it up your spine. We're talking about the meeting place. And in Kundalini Yoga, by the way, the arising is called Shakti, and the crown is called Shiva. And so the Shiva Shakti union is the union of the Kundalini up the spine. They don't talk about it in terms of another place. They only talk about it in the crown, in the top of the head, the meeting place. But actually, they don't meet there normally, or the meeting there is weak. The main meeting is at a lower chakra because of our blockages. So, as we are seeking, we're seeking to move the meeting place of inner and outer natures further and further along or upward along the energy centers. And here are the two methods. The first method is to learn how to seat within yourself all those personal experiences which are attracted to you through the South Pole, root chakra. Each experience will need to be observed, experienced, balanced, accepted, and seated within yourself. As you grow in self-acceptance and awareness of catalyst, the location of the comfortable seating of these experiences will rise to a higher energy ray consciousness. From personal self-interest, rays 1 to 3, to universal service and being, rays 4 to 6. Each experience needs to first be seated in the red ray and considered as to its survival content, and then considered at each ascending chakra level. In this way, each experience will be sequentially understood by the growing and seeking entity, first in terms of survival, 1, then in terms of personal identity, 2, social relations, 3, universal love, 4, in terms of how the experience may beget free communication, 5, in terms of how the experience may be linked to universal energies, 6, and finally, in terms of the sacramental nature of each experience. So there is a nice summary of the meaning of the 7 chakras. And there is a nice summary of where we may meet our experience from, or wherein may be seated the quality of how we're living in any experience. Number 2, so this is the first method. I'll talk more about these. The second method, meanwhile, the Creator lies within. In the North Pole, Ray 7, the crown is already upon the head, and the entity is potentially a god. Actually, the entity is a god, the infinite Creator. The potential is that it hasn't been actualized in time and space. This energy is brought into being by the humble and trusting acceptance of this energy through meditation and contemplation of the self and of the Creator. Now, these are the two methods. This little point here, 1, 2, is the joining of these two methods. Where these energies, ascending from Ray 1, descending from Ray 7, where these energies meet is where the serpent will have achieved its height. When this uncoiled energy approaches universal love, Ray 4, and radiant being, Ray 6, the entity is in a state close to harvestability into 4D positive. So, that's a heavy teaching there. Now, let me unpack it. So, the coiled serpent means the latent power of universal energy coming in through the root chakra? Is there a big blockage of energy that, like a little sun, can burst up to the crown when it's uncoiled from the root? I don't know about that. Is there something down there sitting, waiting to be called? I think it's a metaphor. What there is a flow of universal energy coming in there. Base of the spine and the feet comes in there. The triangular root chakra, right? The tripod, 2 feet and base of spine, comes in there. The energy that comes in there is infinite, by the way. There is no limit to that, meaning it's the energy of the infinite creation. So, you know, what's the limit? The limit is the blockages up the spine. And all of those affect the root chakra. This is why Kundalini yoga can be dangerous. That's why any kind of forcing of energy development can be dangerous, because the fire, the power that could come through, is boundless, like a sun. So you don't want to bring the sun through your root chakra, you will explode. But a Buddha, a true avatar, somebody like the Buddha or Nityananda, I would believe, I believe, has no blockage anywhere up the line. And so, but that has been developed over very intensive practice, you know. Nityananda was said to have been gazing at the noonday sun on the hot sand, the burning sands of the Ganges River bank, sitting watching the sun for hours on end, open-eyed, peacefully staring at the sun. So what he's doing is he's burning through any residual etheric web blockage up the line, 1 to 7, 7 to 1, and through the whole system. I mean, I think that's what he was doing. And so, you know, we can't expect so much, but for ourselves, because it's very patient work to unblock, and it's pretty serious because the energy that could come in is immense. The point is, a different way of understanding Kundalini arising, rather than forcing something by breathing and visualization, forcing an energy up the spine, is to look, is to look at how am I living my experience. You know, when I talk to my relatives, when I read about the New World Order, when I read about the BP oil spill, when I walk down the street and somebody smiles at me, when I'm in my shower, when I'm in any interaction, or when I'm alone, how am I doing? What's my condition of consciousness? Kundalini is related to ascension, and Ra talks about it here at the last paragraph on page 31, and I'll get to that. So the first method of raising the meeting place and awakening the Kundalini, according to this sensible method, very sensible, really, very, very sensible, because there's no forcing, and we're reflecting on our condition of mind moment by moment. The first method is to learn how to seat within ourselves all personal experience that comes to us, meaning all experiences that come to us in our daily life that represent energy coming up the spine, up the South Pole. And just like the recommendation for healing of mind, Ra is saying, we need to observe and experience, balance and accept each moment's experience. So, again, when they're hammering outside my window, how angry am I? Or how peaceful am I? How much am I accepting it versus fighting it? When we deal with traffic on the LIE, how well am I accepting it? What actually am I experiencing? Am I round and round in frustration, thought, and anger? Blame or self-pity or dejection or, you know, whatever? or what? And it doesn't mean we should force or pretend we're other than we are. The mind is where it is when it is. That's the observing. The experiencing is the willingness to feel. Yeah, I'm angry. I hate their banging. I hate the LIE. Or I hate the New World Order. Or I'm scared. Or, you know, I love the cosmos. You look at the stars, you know, or you look at the Hubble photos, and you observe your experience, which is joy. Where is that seated? Well, that's pretty balanced, I think. It's well accepted. I feel joy. It's balanced. It's accepted. It's experienced. Where's the meeting place? Six and seventh centers, I'd say. You know, gratitude for the creation as it is. So we can be there too. But when, you know, the drunk walks into our house, are we appreciating the glory of creation? When, you know, our relatives, you know, make trouble for us or blame us for not being a good babysitter, whatever, are we in the same appreciation for the glory of creation as we are when we're watching the Hubble telescope photographs?
No.
So it's about observing our reactions, I'm actually okay. It's just the phlegm, it's clearing the blockage of the throat chakra. Are we willing to observe and be with our experience, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant? That willingness is balancing. And because we're willing to feel it, which is love, and we're willing to understand it a little more, which is wisdom. That's the balancing. So then we're seating it at a higher level. That's the point. By the willingness to observe an experience, meaning to know it, to recognize it, right? Observing, observing means recognizing. A willingness to let it be and be with it. Willingness to experience it is love. That is acceptance. As we accept it, or show perform, you know, demonstrate our willingness to experience, our willingness to experience it, our willingness to accept it as it is, our frustration, our joy, our fear, our self-pity. As we're willing to experience it, we are loving it. We are activating fourth chakra. As we are willing and demonstrating willingness to be with it, fourth chakra, we are actually opening our mind to understanding it. It does take more effort, you know. Knowing and feeling are linked, but not quite the same. Like fourth and fifth chakra are two sides of the same coin, but the coin does have two faces. It's the same coin of mind. The mind that feels, the mind that knows. The energy field of consciousness that receives and transmits. But it does receive and transmit. It is the same field of consciousness, but it does have two functions in time and space. Those two functions are receiving and transmitting. The receiving is love. The transmitting and receiving is wisdom. More so, transmitting is wisdom. Although wisdom includes receiving, transmitting is only wisdom. Receiving is both. And therein lies the secret, that you can't know deeply unless you love deeply. And the limit to knowing is the limit to loving. Because, that's a Koreans talk that way. Sorry, I'm in Asia. Because, to transmit, because fifth chakra wisdom is receptive and transmissive, means receives and transmits, right? We can hear others. We can hear ourselves. And we can speak the truth. And we can share truth. That's receiving and transmitting. While heart chakra is receiving only, I can be with it. I can accept it. I accept what is. I am with this. I embrace and welcome it all. So receiving is fourth and fifth. Fourth is receiving only. Fifth is receiving and sending. We can't fully send unless we fully receive. Because how could we send everything until we receive everything? And that's exactly what Ross said before, previous session, I think. Until green ray transfers of all types are mastered, meaning until the capacity for acceptance of everything is well developed, the fifth ray still has blockage, and sixth as well. And so, one great Thai Buddhist master named Ajahn Chah, who died of cancer, by the way, whatever that means. In fact, I went to his ashram in India, his monastery, before he died, and he was sick at that time, and they didn't let me come in. They didn't let me stay. They might have known I wasn't serious enough, or that I should have been somewhere else, which was true. But I was there, and he said, his basic teaching when he was giving his monks hard training may be, hold some building material for half an hour while we build this hut, meaning, giving a monk a big trouble, right? These are just kind of, starry-eyed, sweet 25-year-old Australians and Brits and Canadians who are there with shaved eyebrows, saffron robes, seeking transformation, and then their teacher, who they love, who's a good guy, makes them hold a paint can for half an hour. Why? Because he's teaching them to surrender to what is. That was the phrase used in some of his teaching. To surrender to what is. That's fourth chakra. So total surrendering to what is not the whole of the spiritual path. But total surrender to what is, or surrendering totally to what is a major heart chakra training, which basically pushes on the blockages of second and third, and fourth, of course. And that clearing, that surrendering to what is ultimately necessary for the full development of fifth and sixth chakras. So you can't transmit fully by five until you receive fully by four. And some portion of the receiving of four is very much connected to the development of fifth chakra. This is very subtle, I don't want to get into it, but every chakra relates to every other chakra. And so some portion of, well, you could say the higher development of fourth chakra, 4.5, subplane, sub-chakra levels 5, 6, and 7, 4.5, 4.6, 4.7, yeah, sure, it relates to 5th, 6th, and 7th chakras. So higher love is higher wisdom, or wisdom development, throat chakra development, is absolutely necessary for the higher being of love, 4.5, 6, and 7. And this is, again, raising the meeting place of inner and outer natures further and further upward, or along and upward along the chakras. So the first method is to seat within ourselves all personal experience that comes to us. First, willing to observe it and recognize, you know, like Ed Koch used to say, how am I doing? Meaning, how am I feeling right now? That's the observation. The willingness to experience is love. That's acceptance. I'm willing to feel what I'm in now. Happy or sad, positive or negative, distorted or not, clear or confused. That willingness is balancing. And making a little more effort, we can understand it more. Why? How? What's it all about? You know, if somebody comes into the room and immediately you feel anger, don't push it down. Don't scream. Be with it. What's up? Me? Hey, what's up, me? Why am I angry? Oh, yeah, let me look up because of this woman, this man, this person. Well, it's not because of them exactly, but it is the catalyst of them in the room, in your space, triggering our blockage of anger and resentment and judgment and criticism and fear, etc. What's it up out? What's it up? What's up? Hey, me? What's up, me? what's up is we are perceiving something about them. That perception relates to elements of our mind. Maybe they have unpleasant or non-loving qualities of mind and behavior that we are reacting to. Well, maybe we have the same and we don't like them either. So, don't like it inside, don't like it outside. I don't like in you what I don't like in me. I'm at peace with what's in you, I'm at peace with what's in you that is also within me, within mind, really. You know, what you manifest in mind, I react to in the way that I react to that which is within my mind. So your anger, I don't like because I don't like my own. Your small-mindedness, your arrogance, your unwillingness to listen to the truth that I give you, I don't like because I don't like that in myself. Or I'm not at peace with my own ignorance, my own, you know, arrogance, my own stupidity. How's that? So, my distortion, the way I am to my distortions is ultimately, to a large extent, not fully, but to a large extent, the way I am with the distortions that you manifest. So, as we grow in self-acceptance and awareness of catalyst, awareness of catalyst means, how do I normally react when things happen like this? You know, when I'm on the LIE, oh yeah, I'm always angry. Or when I'm in front of a group of people and they don't listen to me, I'm always frustrated. Or I'm always afraid. Or I'm always judgmental. That's awareness of catalyst. Then, the location of the comfortable seating can rise to a higher level. Level of chakra, level of consciousness, from personal self-interest, me, to the universal. Each experience is first seated in red ray and considered as to survival content, then considered at each ascending chakra level. Now, it'll take a lot of time if you're on the LIE or you're paying for your groceries and you have an emotional reaction, and then you're saying, just a moment, before I give you my change, or before I make this left turn, let me sequentially understand my consciousness chakra seating of this experience. Let me consider this experience at each ascending chakra point. Just a moment. I don't think that can be done that way. That's kind of funny. What Ra is saying is, when you know the meaning of the rays, you'll quickly know where you're coming from. And this is a very straight up, simple, summarized understanding. Are we stuck at the level of survival? Fear, right? Raw sexuality without any moral or mind concern, or panic, fight or flight, that's survival. Well, normally we're not living at that point, but you know, if you're in the middle of a war, or when we think about New World Order plans, we can experience fear of survival, you know, and that's first chakra blockage, seeding the experience in first chakra only. Then we consider in terms of personal identity, emotional life, my feeling about me. Oh, I'm happy here. Oh, I hate that. Me, only me. I don't like this. I want that. I feel this and I feel that. Well, we're there most of the time. Which means, yeah, we all have second chakra blockage. That's why, basically, I say everybody has all chakras blocked somewhat. Because a lot of our time is spent in musing about our personal feeling, about our personal experience. Me, my personal sense of me. Social relations is third. Position, how they think of me. I want them to like me. I don't care if they don't like me. Fuck them. This is also third chakra blockage. So third chakra blockage is concave and convex. Concave means caved in. Collapse. Oh, I'm weak. They're strong. I can't talk in public. I don't want to be. I don't want them to see me. I don't want to stand up. I don't want to present myself. I don't want them to focus attention on me. Concave, collapsed. Of course, we all are this way sometimes. Convex is arrogant. Yeah, I'm the boss. You know, you follow me. I don't care what you're thinking. You're me. I'm the one here. It's my point. And you follow me, you'll do it our way. Damn them. We know it. They're wrong. We're right. I'm right. I'm the guy. You know, that's not so nice, but that's the other side of third chakra blockage. I hate the LIE. I hate all these damn Long Island people. Third chakra blockage. You know, again, we're all in this. Universal love, fourth. Oh, I love the LIE. Oh, I love the New World Order. Yes, yes. Now, you can see that without wisdom is folly. And, of course, you know, all the promoted New Age, New World Order things that are, to whatever some extent, promoted by either fourth density New Age types or New World Order things, you know, they promote Benjamin Krem, etc., etc. Love only is weak because there's no wisdom and it's naive, and they just say, you know, love, love, you know, we should love Obama and send him prayers. Yeah, sure, well, that's fine. It doesn't do anything, but it helps you. But if you don't have wisdom, it is imbalanced. You can send him love, that's nice. But what about understanding what's going on? That might help too. Send wisdom. So universal love, though, is also pure compassion. You know, and you can see when somebody's in suffering, when we look at, you know, victims or people who've gone through the disasters that are happening, we feel love. So that's seeding experience in fourth ray. Then, in terms of how experience may beget free communication. Now that's really nice. Meaning, how may I speak truth freely? How may I freely listen and understand? How may our communication of understanding be improved or be facilitated by this experience? What's happening? Do I know what's happening? You know? So you want to help somebody with their health condition. Do you really know what's up? Do you really understand their mind and their condition and their fears and their blockage? Well, if you do, then you can speak it. Of course, they may not want to hear it. They may want to hear a little. I don't know. But considering how experience may beget free communication is fifth ray seating. So, you know, you go to the grocery store, you buy your groceries, and you smile and say hello to the checkout person, cashier. And you want the joining connection of free communication. Of course, they don't really have much time, nor do you, but this is the value of a kindly hello, you know. A kindly hello is the free communication of caring. 5-4, ray 4, ray 5. That's the seating of that moment in fourth and fifth ray. And then finally, or in further up, in terms then the seating of how experience may be linked to universal energies, it's not that you think, how can I link this to universal energy? Although that's possible, where you can consider, let me send love to this train full of peoples. This train full of 3D repeaters, you know, that are God in disguise. Let me send love light to this whole train load of peoples. Or, in meditation, let me send love light to all. May all beings be well and happy. Walk down the street, beam your love light to all. That's considering how it can be linked to universal energy. The adept doesn't necessarily think about it all. The adept is doing it. The story of Nityananda, some ruffians in the Indian forest when he was in his, I don't know, 40s, 30s, 40s, not so old guy, maybe even 20s, grabbed him, wrapped his arm in a rag, soaked it in kerosene, and lit it on fire. Wow, that's fun. And, of course, his arm is burning. Immediately, the pain is transferred to the ruffian, and the Indian young guy, who thinks he's a tough guy, is screaming in pain because he feels the sensations of his hand burning. I mean, fire burning, you know, not sunburn. Screaming in pain. Now, is that negative karma? Did Nityananda hurt him? Seems like immediate karmic transfer. He saves that guy further karmic return. The guy doesn't have to wait for some other troublemaker to give him that karma back in the future. He got it right away. Hey, that saves some time. And then, of course, he screamed, stop, guru, stop, master, and Nityananda stopped the transfer. The guy's arm was fine. Nityananda unwrapped the bandage. His hand and arm were fine, of course. That is linkage to universal energy, the one energy field that Nityananda is, or knows himself to be, as we are, he could use for service, transmitting the sensation by the universal field to the proper recipient, who learned something karmically, or certainly had karmic return and got the point. Simple point. Hey, man, you want to do that to others? Well, it comes back to you. India, they know about karma very well. They may not apply it, but they know the theory. And he got a lesson that day. And I imagine he turned from his wayward ways. That is an example of linkage to universal energies. But just sending love light is another example. Or just knowing the oneness of all and appreciating in the moment is example two. Finally, the last seating is in terms of the sacramental nature of each experience. Now, you can't really fake that. You can think, yes, it's divine. The traffic on LIE is divine. The New World Order is sacramental. Well, that's cool, but that's just a thought, and it doesn't really do much. seventh chakra experience, you know, is bliss. It's boundless blissfulness, the law of forever. Formless realm, meaning no sense of me or you, beyond a sense of consciousness, actually. I've experienced something like that, perhaps. It's a kind of blissful pulsing fusion. How's this? Blissful, one hell, pulsing fusion. Blissful pulsing fusion. Sounds kind of sexy, but it's basically this, the seer and the seen, the knower and the known is one. It's pulsing in that it's lifeful. It's fusion because there ain't no split to be found in thought or mind or experience. And it's blissful because it's blissful, not because of anything else. So I had that experience a couple of times. That is probably contact with intelligent infinity, or fusion with, or being an experience of our own intelligent infinity, which is true nature. So, yeah, Vandy, the point, we may not like an experience, but can transcend it. Ra is saying, transcending it is not the point, or not the way. The way is to know it fully, to experience it fully. Knowing, of course, we don't want to be stuck in something we don't like. So not liking is dislike. Not liking is aversion. So in Buddhism, there are three poisons. The poisons are desire, aversion, and ignorance. Or confusion, we can say. So aversion is the poison that arises when we don't like something. Not liking is aversion. And Ra is saying, don't transcend it, don't overcome it. In a previous session, we talked about, Ra talked about not trying to overcome, not trying to transcend. Ra is teaching the way of transformation here. This is basically observing first and experiencing. This is observing your experience. I have aversion. I hate this. I don't like this. Okay, fine. What? I don't like this, that, and the other thing. Okay, fine. I accept that. Now, maybe you can move. Maybe you can't change the situation. So accepting it means being with it, and understanding also that you chose it. You, yes, of course, and in fact, that's just the point I said. The law of attraction applies always. There is no experience that is not the law of attraction. The law of attraction is karma, cause and effect. Every experience of consciousness is operative or the result of the law of karma. Now, from the perspective of enlightenment, there is no law of karma. From the perspective of higher self, there's no time. There's no subject-object. So, to the extent that we're not fully enlightened, or not living from the level of higher self or the law of one, yeah, then law of attraction, law of karma applies always. Of course you drew it to yourself. Of course. It isn't happening to me, it's only happening to you. Right? Why does it happen to Vandy? It doesn't happen to Scott. Scott has got another stuff. Got a whole different menu of tasty appetizers, of catalysts. You've got yours, I got mine. I made mine, you made yours. Why? Well, basically so that we can develop greater love wisdom. How? By willingness to experience and understand what we are experiencing by the catalyst we brought to ourselves. And so we should know that we can raise the level, meaning if you're stuck in aversion, I hate this, I hate myself, second chakra blockage, I hate those people, this group, New World Order, third chakra blockage, I can move into universal love and free communication. Now, free communication doesn't mean I'm going to talk to this group and tell them how much I love them or how deluded they are. It means an acceptance of them as they are, as it is, and ability to know it deeply. Why is it this way? Why are they this way? Why don't they want my truth? Why do they want to dominate the world? Why are those intelligence assets tape recording my Skype call? Why do they care? Because they're on the path of gaining power, if they're here, and they follow their boss, otherwise they're out of a job. Then how can they keep the house and the car and their travel and their lifestyle? They need to do their job. Why? Because they're not ready for anything else. They're really not quite aware of a bigger view of reality and self and mind. So I can accept it. Now, I don't know if I need to have free communication, but what Ra is saying is the experience of aversion first needs to be understood as aversion. I hate the LIE. I hate my relatives who keep blaming me or asking me unreasonable things. I understand them, however. They are the way they are. They do what they do because they couldn't do any otherwise. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Maybe, said Jesus, but it's reasonable. They are what they are. They couldn't do it otherwise. Ants don't speak. The infinite creator gets confused and spun around and thinks he's a little guy on a payroll or, a person who must be doing their thing the way they do it because they don't know any bigger view. You know, humans are pretty deluded if you haven't noticed. This is a pretty deluded planet. So one great Thai master, they asked him about humans. What do you think of civilization? What do you think about modern life? He was a great forest monk. He just said, lost in thought. They're all lost in thought. Now that's very cutting metaphysical, meaning everybody's just lost in their mind. They believe their own thoughts. That's a Buddhist understanding that the mind or thought is empty. The thought and concept and emotion is ultimately empty. That's a higher level of working with the three poisons. You know, I hate the LIE. Oh, the LIE is empty. That's not easy to do. You can't fake that. Oh, the LIE is God or sacred and divine. That's cute, but it doesn't really do anything. Better to first be with the aversion and move it up slowly, right? Yeah, okay. I'm really angry. I hate this. And I'm hurt, and I'm disappointed, and I'm sad, and I wish it wasn't this way. I wish I had more friends. I wish people would listen to me more. Now that moves it from anger to sadness. And that gets it closer to our heart because we really want love. Why are we so angry? Because we want love, actually. We want them to understand us. We want a joyous ride back home. We want a happy family. We want nice community and friendship and helpers and people around us. We want good relationship with our beloved. We want all these things. It's all love we want, actually. But not feeling love, we get distorted. And the solution is love again. The cure for not loving is loving. The cure for distortion is love and acceptance. Now that is not transcendence, like, oh, I'm going to think positive thoughts, the LIE is the creator. It doesn't work, it's fake. I don't recommend that approach at all. And nor does Ra. So Ra's really saying, be with what you are, be where you are, and bring it up. Bring it into love and acceptance, and accepting our own pain. It's only pain that leads us to desire and aversion, grasping, needing, sorrowful from the loss, you know, I have lots of sorrow. Live, you know, we all do. So if you want to sit in the well of sorrow, there's a lot there, reasonably. And it basically comes from not feeling the love that we wish we feel and live. But the ultimate source of that love is you. You know, hey, what's the heart chakra all about? So healing is self-love. That self-love is universal love. It's not actually self. Universal service begins with self-love. Self-love is universal love, if it's real love. Then, so, that, all of that is just the first method. We're obviously not going to get onto any other reading today, but we'll go to questions. Sorry for my long monologue, but I think it's important, because this is very profound, and not and you can get it if we unpack it. Second method, the creator lies within. The seventh chakra is infinite being. That energy comes into being, brought into being, brought into manifestation, comes out of potentia into actualization by humble and trusting acceptance of that energy through meditation and self-contemplation, contemplation of Creator. That's actually a hint, I think, about sitting in meditation, just being. Now, that's actually very nice, because Ra is saying not only can we look at experience and raise it up one by one, but we can also sit in meditation and simply be what we are. And I, you know, think the wonderful method for that is mindfulness, breath mindfulness. Just accepting the energy of what you are, just following the breath as an example, and letting the self be as it is, that is actually trusting and humble acceptance of our totality versus experience as limitation and blockage. But that's a portion of the totality. And as we sit with our blockage more and more, it dissolves more and more. You know, there are levels and there are heavy blockages below, but more and more there's opening, and more that is greater acceptance of our totality. So again, where those energies, the ascending and the descending, meet is the height of the serpent, if you want to use that analogy, which is really not necessary. When the uncoiled or upward spiraling is another term, upward spiraling energy. Now, when it approaches universal love, fourth ray, and radiant being, sixth ray, then we're near harvestability. So the link between ascension and kundalini or path of catalyst is when the path of catalyst and the arising upward spiraling light touches the fourth ray, heartfulness, universal love, compassion, then we're approaching harvestability. That naturally actually links to six, radiant being, being without necessity of actually choosing. You know, Ra said the crystallized healer has no will. The crystallized healer has no will. Crystallized meaning maximal fourth, fifth chakras, love, wisdom, development, and balancing. Crystallized into those chakras become sort of energy crystallization. Crystallized healer like Jesus has no will, no free will, meaning they are God's will. They're doing God's will. They're living in divine will. They're a manifestation of the Tao, the way, according to whatever their particular way is, particular form of the way. That's radiant being, not needing doing, being. All right. So that's a 45-minute monologue, or more. But I think this is, you know, this is the heart of the heart. This is really the center of very pith teaching. What about Kundalini? Let's look at Kundalini in a little bit more mature way. without misconception. Again, this is not the whole teaching about everything, but it's a very serious, centered, true teaching about Kundalini and Catalyst and the path away upwards, away from blockage, out of it, that is without misconception, I believe, and very useful. So next week we'll start on page 32, Catalyst and the Body, and use of Catalyst on the two paths. So I think we, you know, this is a slow-going time, so we may only finish that one page. And again, I really hope you have more questions, and maybe next week people will have more questions. Catalyst and Body is useful because it discusses illness and sickness. What's that? Well, that's Catalyst from the Law of Attraction, too. And that's related. So, anyway, thank you very much. I'm glad everybody's here. And I hope everybody will be with us next week. And thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it very much, as always. This is a high point of my own week, too, that I enjoy deeply. Namaste. Peace to you all. And see you soon.